Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good Friday morning. Good to be back with you. Lots of things to delve into during the course of today's broadcast. Of course, one of the big stories going on, the one congressional race that is still in the spotlight. Right here in North Carolina, the 9th Congressional District, a bombshell development yesterday with Mark Harris basically saying, look, it's time for a new election. We're going to talk about that coming up and what the implications may be. And I have a name to float out there of someone who may end up running in this particular race. In fact, I should reach out to this person this morning. Also, you may remember a few days ago, we had a conversation about these pictures that have been circulating, you know, these discoveries of pictures from old yearbooks, blackface, you know. Remember Charles said, hey, you know, we ought to have an amnesty month. Mm-hmm. Well, now we've got another declaration and another apology that we'll address during the course of the broadcast, maybe. That person is doing it in the spirit of what we've communicated. We will see. I want to start off with something to put all of our lives in perspective. And it's a story. It's like, where in the world does this come from? I share this just to give us some sense of gravity and perspective on our own lives. I thought this was absolutely brilliant. This is something that I found on social media in a group chat that I'm a part of. But it's a story that was communicated about a flight delay. You may think, well, you know, it's not a big deal to me. It didn't happen to me. But listen, I think you will find the message in this story. The person who wrote this story, his name is Ernie. Ernie says, this past week, I was on a 4.5-hour nonstop flight from Seattle to Atlanta, Georgia. In all my years of traveling, I've learned that each time a plane has the opportunity to stop, there's a potential for unexpected challenges. Flight delays, weather, airline crews can create unanticipated challenges on any trip. Therefore, I always try to fly nonstop between my destinations. About an hour into this particular flight, the captain's voice rang over the intercom. He asked if there was a physician or nurse on the plane. If so, he asked them to identify themselves by ringing the flight attendant call button beside their seat. I listened carefully. No one rang their bell. I immediately began to wonder what was happening. In a few minutes, the captain informed us there was a medical emergency on board. Asked again if there was a physician or nurse who could help. No response. We were told we were going to make an emergency landing in Denver. He apologized, but told us there would be an emergency medical team waiting to meet us at the gate. We would probably only be delayed by about 30 minutes, though it was necessary. We knew we would all be inconvenienced by the extra stop. About half an hour later, we landed at Denver International Airport. The medical crew immediately came on board. However, everything took longer than had previously been expected. An elderly gentleman, about 95 years old, had suddenly taken ill. It's not clear whether he had experienced a stroke or a heart attack. Even after the gentleman was carried off the plane, we still sat there for quite a while. The original short stop turned into about an hour and a half. When we finally pushed back from the gate and were in the air, the pilot apologized profusely for the unavoidable delay. He said since the stop had taken longer than expected, those passengers who needed to make connections in Atlanta would miss their flights, but would automatically be booked on the next flight out. You could hear the moans and groans throughout the airplane of everyone who was being inconvenienced by the unexpected stop. Then the pilot did one of the classiest things I've personally ever seen or heard anyone do. He spoke into the intercom and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I thought you might be interested in one bit of information. The elderly gentleman who was taken off the plane was a Marine in World War II. I'm holding in my hand a copy of the Congressional Medal of Honor that was awarded to him and signed by President Harry Truman in 1945. The pilot went on to say, "I realize we've all been inconvenienced today. However, in light of the fact the gentleman was a war hero and was inconvenienced for 4 years of his life, in order that we might experience the freedoms that we enjoy today, I thought you all should know that." Immediately, the airplane was filled with applause. Everyone was cheering, so pleased to know the gentleman had been cared for in a way that was fitting and appropriate. As we continued to fly, I thought to myself, isn't that interesting? We were concerned, we were inconvenienced for a couple of hours, and yet this gentleman's entire life was interrupted and inconvenienced for over 4 years while he went and fought in a war to protect the freedoms and values we love and hold dear in this country today. I breathed a prayer for the gentleman and asked God to bless him for all he had done to help us understand what freedom is all about. Isn't that wonderful? I think you understand now why I share this at the beginning of the broadcast. It's all about perspective, isn't it? Sometimes we can be so caught up in our own personal affairs and our own deadlines, agendas, issues. We can forget and we lose perspective on the rest of the world around us. I hope that's helpful. One other bright item. You heard all of the news media attention on the shutdown and the impact on workers. Well, we have a cool story to share about a furloughed employee, park ranger. Did you hear about this? Her name is Judith Smith. She was furloughed during the partial government shutdown. But back on December 17th, something happened. There was a lottery drawing that took place 6 days before the shutdown. And Ms. Smith kept this ticket in a safe place while she got her legal and financial advice and affairs in order. Now she's come out and claimed her prize. How about $29.5 million? Yeah. In the New Jersey Pick Six Lottery. That's pretty good, don't you think? Back on the Vince Coakley radio program, on the text line, we talked about this 9th District. Great, Vince. Now the Democrats can steal another seat by purchasing North Carolina's seat, flooding the contest with out-of-state money. How does this get so messed up? It's John out of Calpins. On Mr. Smollett, which we will address later on. So Roseanne gets fired in 5 minutes for a tweet. Jussie Smollett is back to work after being arrested for staging a racist hate crime hoax. This is the Twilight Zone, folks. Welcome to it, huh? And this story has apparently touched a nerve, the story I shared at the top. Wow, Vince, tear my heart out today. And this, on the 9th District, I think you mean the 9th Dems Will Not Be Denied District. I want to go to some audio from yesterday. And this was, as I said, a bombshell statement from Mark Harris, who worked really hard in this particular race. And the reason these hearings were taking place His bid was to get this election certified, even though it's just a few hundred votes ahead of his opponent, saying, you know, well, listen, there may have been some irregularities, but it wasn't enough to overturn the results. But yesterday, we heard this from Mr. Harris.
My son, my younger son, Matthew, that I referenced earlier, two nights ago, about the fact that I did not think John's emails would be part of this hearing. Obviously, I was incorrect in my recollection, and I wholeheartedly apologize to this board. On January 18th, I went to the hospital. After battling what we thought was bronchitis, I developed a severe infection that actually caused me to become septic. In the process of that illness, I experienced two strokes from which I'm still recovering. Though I thought I was ready to undergo the rigors of this hearing and I'm getting stronger, I clearly am not, and I struggled this morning with both recall and confusion. Neither I nor any of the leadership of my campaign were aware of or condoned the improper activities that have been testified to in this hearing. Through the testimony I've listened to over the past 3 days, I believe a new election should be called. It's become clear to me.
This was quite shocking, a new election, saying a new election should be called here. And in short order, the Board of Elections did just that. They made the decision unanimously to order a new election for this particular seat. Joining us now, WBT's Brett Jensen, who has been following this story. And, you know, I gathered this was quite shocking. There was quite a gasp that went up in that particular hearing room, wasn't there?
There really was, Vince. And, you know, they initially thought this thing was going to last 2 days, maybe early Wednesday morning. And then as this thing kept going, we realized this is going to take two and a half weeks to finish. And, you know, this was going to be a very long process. And to be perfectly honest with you, I think it just delayed the inevitable. Let's say the state board had voted, you know, this hearing concludes. The state board probably would have voted down party lines, three Democrats, two Republicans, to have a new election. Well, you have to have four votes to have a new election in North Carolina. So at 3-2, there would not have been enough votes to have a new election, but they would not have certified Mark Harris's victory, which means it would have gone to the House of Representatives, and then the House of Representatives eventually would have said, all right, we have control, we're now saying a new election. Like it may have taken several months to get to that point, but it eventually would have gotten to that point. And then the other thing was, as you heard him say, you know, he didn't think that he was remembering things clearly, saying things correctly, and he didn't want to necessarily perjure himself or get himself in legal trouble by saying that, which he, you know, more or less kind of did in the first morning session of the hearing. So I just think it was the best move for all parties involved. You know, it saves him thousands upon thousands of personal dollars. He had to take out a home equity loan just to pay for his lawyers for this hearing. So I just think in the end, there was really nothing he was going to be able to do to prevent a new election.
You know, I'm kind of curious about this because one of the questions, the question that's been in my mind all this time, you know, considering these irregularities, was there a way of figuring out how many votes were actually impacted? Because the margin was, what, 905 votes or so? Would they have been able to tell, you know, what the impact was and whether it would have been able to reverse the outcome?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. And the reporter from the Associated Press actually asked Mark Elias, who is the attorney for Dan McCready, and just so your listeners know, Mark Elias is one of the, if not the, top national Democrat lawyer in the country. He was the head lawyer for Hillary Clinton's campaign in 2016, and he's already signed on to be the head lawyer for Kamala Harris's campaign in 2020, excuse me. So that being said, a lawyer for the, or somebody from the Associated Press asked him yesterday, well, would there have been enough votes tainted to overturn the election? And his response was, well, we have two experts that that are professors that do analytics and political science that said there would have been well over 1,000 votes that were not turned in and discarded, and there would have been easily enough votes to overturn the election. Now, the one thing he conveniently left out were, well, what about all the tainted votes with the Bladen County Improvement PAC, which is a Democrat PAC, which was accused of doing the exact same thing as McCray Dallas for Mark Harris.
Yeah, that's another side to that, which didn't get a lot of attention during the course of this. So where do we go from here? Do we get any indication on the timetable for a new election?
Well, this is where things are going to get sticky, Vince. Yesterday, so North Carolina passed a law in December with a supermajority for the Republican Party saying if you there is a new election, you have to start from scratch all over again with a primary. Well, Mark Elias hinted yesterday that that may not be the case, and it sounds like he's going to challenge that in local and federal court.
Oh, boy.
What are the other? That there should be a primary. It should go straight to a general election with no primary. So that's going to be interesting to see if that happens. So that could delay the process even more. But let's say there is a primary because the state law holds up. That means once the State Board of Elections sets the date, and they'll probably try to set it sometime next week, at the earliest that you can have a state primary is 60 days from the time they announce the date, because federal law says you have to have at least 60 days to hand out your mail-out ballots for, like, servicemen overseas or people who are living abroad. And then you have the results. You have to certify the results. And then you have to wait another 60 days for the general election, and that's assuming there's not a runoff in the primaries. So every time you have a new election, there has to be a minimum of 60 days in between each election. I mean, Vince, we're seriously talking Thanksgiving, maybe?
Wow. And so we're talking about people in that 9th district having no representation during this entire period.
Exactly. You're 100% correct.
And finally, do we have any indication as to who is going to run? Do we know whether Mark Harris is going to run again?
You know, Mark Harris sent a text to Mark Garrison of WBT News last night saying that he's going to concentrate on getting healthy. And then at that particular point, he'll determine whether or not he's going to run again in the primary, assuming there is a primary. So he hasn't made up his mind. There's been no announcements yet as to who is going to run. Although I will say this, within minutes of the announcement of a new election forthcoming, Dan McCready immediately started tweeting and asking for donations.
Okay. So we're off to the races already. Brett Jensen, thanks very much for your great coverage on this during the course of the week, sir.
Thanks, Vince. I appreciate it.
So what are your thoughts? Especially, I'd love to hear from those of you in the 9th District. You're going to be without representation for several months. You know, I've thought, you know, they ought to have something in place where if you don't have representation, you shouldn't have to pay taxes.
Yeah.
Just a thought. We'll get your thoughts as we continue. Back to the Vince Coakley radio program, our Ingalls Advantage talk line number 800-928-1110, Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. It is 71307. Over on that text line, that lady that won $29.5 million, what an inspirational story. Almost made me forget about the other $230 million losing tickets or the $200 million skimmed off for misuse by politicians. Everyone on the left, even some in the middle or on the right, are going to assume that since Harris called for a new election, he's admitting guilt of cheating in a ballot scandal. Just the opposite. It takes more integrity to do what he did than to let the process play through. And I would agree with you. This is another example of the integrity of Mr. Harris in doing what he's done here. Destroying our democracy. What a travesty. This is how that one person is looking at this. Vince, as a Marine Corps combat veteran, I can without a doubt respect and appreciate the story you shared at the top, but I'm left wondering why it took further information for the passengers to accept the inconvenience, even applaud for the man. I'm left wondering why we as humans can't simply appreciate the situation. Yeah, it's a tough thing, isn't it? You know, without knowing all the details, compassion should not be measured based on the individual person's achievements. It should be measured solely because we are human. I'm with you, man. I understand where you're coming from. Much love, Vince. P.S. You sound much better today. Thank you. I appreciate that. That word of encouragement. It's not known elections will now be stolen by absentee voting and early voting. So much fraud will happen, and who guards the early votes? I'm against early voting, designed to steal close elections. What are your thoughts on the West Virginia representative that inferred he would drown his children if they were gay? Does the word idiot mean anything to you? Harris should have listened to WBT's Dave Ramsey. He says never take out a home equity loan to pay for a lawyer. Oh, my goodness. What happened to the results of the other offices on the ballots? Were they questioned or accepted and filed? Good question. Let us go out to a call from Judy in Indian Trail. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning, Vince. How are you doing? Sounds, as the previous texter observed, you do sound a little better.
I'm glad to hear that.
My point is, I voted for Mark Harris over McCready and will do it again if that's my option. However, I did not vote for him in the primary. I felt very perturbed that he would run to push out Pittenger, who I felt like himself is a good, strong Christian, and that Mark's basically pushing out one person who had similar views to him in order to have the seat himself, and I'm afraid that his ambition perhaps overrode clearer thinking.
Yep, I understand where you're coming from, and time will tell what happens in this particular seat here. Judy, thanks very much for your call, your input on this. Tim in Charlotte as well. Good morning.
Vince, you sound terrible.
Thank you. Terrible. God bless you, too.
I had to turn the radio down. I'm going to say, Pastor Harris, if he was listening, not to go again, not to run again. I mean, this has been the second time. It's something. His calling, in my opinion, is as a pastor. And politicians, I mean, you always end up compromising yourself in some form or fashion. And it may not be, you know, you play that close to the fire, he is going to get burnt at some point. They've tried to toast him on his sermons and things like that, that taken out of context. But I would say to go back and just open the good book and spread that word. But I would say tell Pat McCrory to get in, because if he loses this time, he can't complain about it because it's all legit.
I see. Okay. Well, thanks very much for your call there, Tim. Let's go out to Joe in Charlotte. Good morning.
Well, good morning. It's nice to talk to you. I hope you are feeling better.
I am somewhat better, yes. Thank you.
Well, good. I'm very glad of that. I just, you know, the standard at which they held Mark Harris to, as far as the, you know, that he got an email from his son, who wasn't employed by the campaign, was not even in the state of North Carolina. You know, I find that very, you know, and they hold him that, well, he was warned, you know, that he should have known. At least that's what the impression comes across to me, that he should have known about the fraud. Well, all I got to say is a couple of years, at least a couple of years, maybe not even that long, before we had 9/11, there was a hijacking in France. And the French special forces overcome the hijackers. A few of the people were killed on the plane. But anyway, it turns out those hijackers were planning on taking that plane and plowing it into the Eiffel Tower.
Yep, I remember that one.
Yeah, and they told the United States about the FBI, the CIA, you know, so they were warned. And I don't remember anybody being fired at the CIA or FBI, which I think they should have been, and because there were other warnings, you know, about the fact
yep.
that these people were learning to fly planes but could care less about landing, you know. But anyway, with that kind of standard, you know, again, you know, how come it always seems to, you know, they always go to that extreme when it's, basically conservative candidates or, you know, but with, I wonder if McCready would have been held to that kind of standard.
It's a very good question to ask, Joe, and I do appreciate your call. You know where I am on this government stuff. I mean, if you are guilty of profound incompetence, as you know, there ought to be a price to pay. But a good part of the time, you get promoted. You come along and you provide some answer to make sure this doesn't happen again. We've got it figured out here. We've got a new program. We've got a new protocol. Whatever it is, it's really annoying, isn't it? By the way, before I forget, I talked with a good friend of mine who was very much a supporter of Mark Harris. who communicated to me that there will be somewhat of a push to get a former county commissioner to run for this particular seat. Who is that person? I'll tell you in just a bit after we take a call from Sharon. Good morning, Sharon.
Hey, I just want to speak out in defense of Harris. Pittenger was a good when he started out, but you had to watch how Pittenger voted. And people don't realize that you can get on there and see how your congressmen and women are voting. And he didn't stand behind our soldiers all the time, and he didn't vote that what I would find acceptable for a Republican. So don't compare the two. Mark Harris did nothing wrong voting running against Pittenger. Mark Harris is a strong Christian man, and more important than that, he's a good man in spite of the Christianity. And I don't mean to say that as negative.
Oh, I get it.
I really believe he's a good man, period.
I get it, Sharon. I do appreciate your call. Very much appreciate that. By the way, a texter, if I can find this text that I saw just a few minutes ago. Oh, here it is. Pittenger, Tillis, Graham, Ryan, all of them establishment folks, get rid of them. That's what this texter says. So who's going to run in this particular seat? Who would you like to see as the next congressperson in that district? We'd love to get your thoughts. Also, we will talk about the Jussie Smollett scandal. That much more coming up. Back of the Vince Coakley radio program. By the way, we told you in a few minutes we're going to talk about this Jussie Smollett debacle. One story that's developed just since the time we've been on the air. A development regarding that. I was about to say some words I probably shouldn't say. Let's just say things are closing in on Mr. Smollett. We've learned that his character will not be in the rest of the season of Empire. He has been removed entirely. That announcement came just this morning. So we will address that coming up. Not a pretty picture for this particular ongoing story. We can talk about another interesting development close to home. We just had the NBA All-Star Game last week. We have now learned of something else that could be coming to the Queen City. Now there is talk about the exploration of a bid to bring the NFL draft to Charlotte. Wouldn't that be interesting? The NFL draft. Eric Spanberg, Charlotte Business Journal, saying the Panthers are currently exploring a bid to bring the NFL draft to Charlotte, and team executives are scheduled to speak with NFL Senior Vice President of Events, Peter O'Reilly, about a formal bid and what that would entail. The earliest the NFL draft would be in Charlotte would be 2021. Next year, the draft will be held in Las Vegas. So far, endorsements for this idea? Mayor Vi Lyle, City Manager Marcus Jones. According to a spokesperson for the Charlotte Regional Visitors Authority, the city would pursue such an event in partnership with the Panthers, who would be the lead entity. The Visitors Authority worked closely on successful bids for both the NBA All-Star Game and the 2020 Republican National Convention. And you have to think that the clout of the Panthers and the new ownership has to figure in very prominently here, don't you think? So this could be interesting for the year 2021. I told you there was a new development regarding the blackface stories. It was Charles who some days ago said, you know, we ought to have an amnesty month. You know, until the end of the month, get out all of your stories about blackface. Well, now the University of South Carolina's president's apologizing after pictures of white students wearing blackface were found in old yearbooks. The president of the university said in a letter the photos were found in the yearbook from 1898 to 1994. letter says there are a number of offensive photos depicting white students in blackface and other offensive content. He says the school denounces the photos and the mindset they represent. Says the photos provide another opportunity to learn from the demons of the past. Adding, South Carolina wants to create an environment where everyone feels welcome and can thrive. So here we are, yet another blackface story. And probably not the last blackface story, based on what we have observed here in the past few days. Love to get your thoughts on this. Is this something that encourages you, that people are actually coming out and saying, hey, this is the deal? We are acknowledging the mistakes of the past, and we're wanting to clear the air. Do you like that? Or do you think this is all just completely overblown in the first place? I mentioned a name. I've not given you the name yet. But I was texting with a friend of mine who is close to the Harris campaign yesterday evening, a friend who was quite devastated. He said that he's got friends who are going to reach out to Matt Ridenour about this particular seat. Don't be surprised to see him run for this particular office. And some of this may depend on what happens, the decision by Mark Harris. And by the way, it should go without saying, we certainly wish Mr. Harris the best and pray for him, for his health, because really that's the most important thing. No seat is worth the health issues that he's going through. So I think he would certainly appreciate your prayers. Let's go out to a call from Joe in York. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Thank you very much. You were talking about the Eiffel Tower going to be taken down by a terrorist crashing into it. This goes back years, I know. But just so you, I think you already know that many of us regular citizens already knew about what was going on. I found out that Jamie Gorelick would not allow the FBI, the CIA, exchange information. And furthermore, these terrorists were taking, some of them were taking pilot training in the United States of America, only to fly the plane level, never to take off or land. And this was reported to the government, nothing done about it. And I could go on and on. And when the planes, I have a friend who was a stewardess at the time, and she called me and told me about this. And I heard on the news during the morning about the four planes that were missing. And I tried to call the government and tell them we're going to be under terrorist attack and not a damn thing done. And the president's sitting there reading the kid to kindergarten kids, and he wants, doesn't want to be disturbed, being told what was going on. And just sat there because he didn't want to hurt the kids' feelings. Said bullshit.
All righty. Well, we do appreciate your call, and we understand the concerns that have been expressed many times over. Just the, this is another example of what happens when you got big governments. It's overbloated, incompetent, and they're tripping all over themselves. Not a good thing.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.